people in Ukraine, the first thing that has to I really want to happen is all the fighting stop in Ukraine, on the Russian side and on the Ukrainian side, and get the medicine and the food and the water to the people who need it, the innocent people who are paying that price. Thank you for listening to Veterans Voice Radio Show. We'll be back on April 15th, and there it is.
She grew up in America, just the girl next door.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Hey, bluegrass lovers. Tune in Saturday, March 19th for 8 hours of homespun bluegrass for this year's Bluegrass Marathon. Hear from all your favorite Music from the True Vine DJs as they play for you home-recorded sets from your friends and neighbors. Again, that's the Bluegrass Marathon, Saturday, March 19th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on KBOO. See you there.
Okay, Wings audience, here's a Jeopardy question. Freezing weather in Texas, melting glaciers in Switzerland, terror attacks in Iraq, earthquakes in Japan, and Russian invasion of Ukraine. Do, 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 do. The answer is Jeopardy to centralized electrical grids. Today on Wings, the winners are Pakistan's solar nuns.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Sister Samina Iqbal and Sister Maria Daniel are nuns who belong to a U.S.-based Catholic community called Sisters of Loreto. They have run a mission in Faisalabad, west of Lahore. While in Colorado to pursue advanced training in solar installation, the sisters spoke with Laura Palmisano of KVNF-FM.
I'm Laura Palmisano. Two nuns from Pakistan, Sister Samina Iqbal and Sister Maria Daniel, take classes at the nonprofit school Solar Energy International to install and troubleshoot basic solar systems. Samina and Maria say they are the only women in Pakistan doing solar installation, and they've set up systems at missions, schools, and homes.
My name is Samina Iqbal. I am from Pakistan. Three of us, we came in United States to join Sisters of Loreto. Sisters of Loreto's congregation was founded in 1812 in Kentucky.
My name is Maria Daniel. I'm also from Pakistan and a Sister of Loreto. As my friend said, we came to join Sisters of Loreto in 2003. And when we entered, we asked that if we could go back and work with our people in Pakistan because there is so much to do in Pakistan. So the sisters, during our mission year, they said, go back to your own country and see what is the need there. Of course, the electricity is the biggest problem right now there. So I came back and I said, I would like to do something for that. So I was looking around and online, and one of my friends, she lives in Colorado, she introduced me to SEI. And one of our sisters, she took some classes here for straw bale housing. So first time in 2007, I came to SCI on a women's workshop for 2 weeks. And since then, all that I could learn is very helpful in Pakistan. And Samina and I work on battery backup That's the only way in Pakistan right now. We cannot go on grid. And so far, whatever we are doing, people like it. And thank God, we have done 12 installations and every system is working well.
Samina, talk to me about the systems you have set up.
One of the systems which is at our home, where we live, you can call convent. So it is 1600 watts. As Maria said, it is a battery backup. So like 8 hours we can use that. And then the biggest system was 4000 watts. And so far 12 installation we had done.
And all of them are flat roof installations.
Where have you set up systems other than the convent? Do people hire you to come over to their place and say, hey, I want a system installed? Are you doing schools, government buildings, hospitals?
First system at your family's,
mm-hmm.
before our own. And then there was 3 at convents. And then, you know, the priest, they ask us to go there and we have done. So
2 schools.
2 schools, right. In one of our schools, St. Albert, is our school for the poor children. Their parents and family all go for garbage picking and collect all the recyclable things and all that. So that school is for them, and we had that installation there. And one of other school, seminary,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And so 4 different houses.
What are some of the issues with electricity in Pakistan?
As you know, the Pakistan is a highly populated area, so they cannot fulfill the expectations of the people. And then the factories and the companies, they are getting more electricity. And the load is on the government. So that's where the electricity is of like 16 to 18 hours.
So the electricity is not on all the time?
No. Like, they will give us 3 hours and then 3 hours off. Then 3 hours or so and then 3 hours off.
So when you have your own solar system,
mm-hmm.
how is that a game changer?
It is like automatically change. When electricity went off, we cannot figure. It's just on. Right. We are blessed.
And we do have solar in the school. And when the school is not in session, but building is still open for the students and for the teachers. And we told the family who is taking care of the school that leave the gate open if the students would like to come and study in the evening, so they will have the opportunity to come. And also the teachers, they are also, I mean, we encourage our teachers to go for higher education. So if they have to come and do something in the school or study or work on their lesson plan, so they are allowed to do that.
Is it unusual for women in Pakistan, especially nuns, to be doing solar installation? And kind of talk about how that might be a unique situation you have found yourselves in.
Well, sometimes people look at us like we are from different planet. And especially women and especially a nun, because we are like a traditional church in Pakistan. So all the nuns were doing prayer and schools and some hospitals. And here we are with the tools in our hands, and they look at us like we are strange people. And the very first installation, we went to one of the Christian village called Loreto. So we were there doing installation, and the key person of the village, he came and asked the sister who was there that, I heard you are having solar system. And she said, yes. And he said, who is doing that? And she said, these sisters. He looked at us very strangely. He said, are you real sisters? And I said, yeah, we are. So again, he said, really, you are a sister? And at one point I was like, what is your problem? Can't you see that I'm standing here? And first of all, he said, the women don't do that work. And then the sisters, so it was totally different. Even when we go, if our tools are broken or something, when we go to buy some, that, those shops, only men do go there. So it is strange for the man, that woman is standing there and asking him, give me a meter and this and that and check it. So all of those, it is really strange, but thank God we have good support and nobody discouraged us. So that is a good thing.
Why did you decide to do solar, and what really gave you that spark?
As I shared before, that the situation of electricity in Pakistan, so there should be some other option that we can do. We cannot sit and wait then electricity come and then we will start our work. And that was Maria's passion. We should do something. So she was doing, she was alone, then she needed my help also. And I was also interested. I said, oh yeah, we need to do something. Something different. You know, we are going back to Pakistan. We have to take something different. We do not want to be a traditional nun. Something different. So that's what we have done. So we are really enjoying doing that. And even church is happy. And whenever they want to buy something about solar or about any kind of electric things, they call what kind of things will be better for us and all that.
As Samina said, we wanted to take something different. We cannot say, okay, just sit and pray for that. We need to give something. Either we need to teach them or we need to do something that they can do something for themselves, and it should be different, something practical. So this is what we try to do. And we are hoping that we will have a school for the school dropouts, because in Pakistan, literacy rate is only 50%. So mostly the boys who are like in eighth grade, it is an age when they are like, they think that they are the king of the world and they can do anything. So school is not fulfilling their demands and their desire. So they just leave the school. In this way, we have lots of people who are not educated and who are not doing any job. So taking back this solar knowledge, we are hoping that we will start a small school that we can help those boys to get good job. And also we will help them to pass the government exam for their 10th grade or 12th grade.
On Wings, you are listening to Sister Samina Iqbal and Sister Maria Daniel, who do solar installations in Pakistan. While in Colorado for advanced photovoltaic training at Solar Energy International, they talked with Laura Palmisano of KVNF FM.
You two have been taking classes on and off at SEI for 8 years. What was it like from the first class to what you're studying now, and how have you progressed?
The very first time I came for a woman PV workshop, and we were like 18 from 6 different countries. And in Pakistan, I did not have any electric background. To come to this solar class, I went in Missouri, I went to the public library and started reading the solar books for the children. So after that, I was able to come here. And my friends who were with me in the class, they were very helpful to me, because they knew that also English was a problem for me, and even still it is. So, and that time I was struggling with language and with technical terms. And this time when I tried to register myself for this workshop, they said, oh, did you have this, this? And they checked the record and said, yeah, you are okay for this workshop. And in this workshop, we are talking about troubleshootings. The people who don't have this kind of experience cannot take this class.
And with troubleshooting, we were having problem wherever we install. Sometimes the people call, we are having this and this problem, but they cannot tell properly how it will work. So then we have to go back. So now we can tell them, you have to check this and this. You can check inverter or wire or whatever it is. People can check that. Then we cannot travel. So we can ask somebody to go there and check. So that kind of things is really useful.
And also for this school that we are talking, both of us, we are trying to translate some of the books that we are hoping to teach the school dropouts, because it will be difficult for them to understand the language. So that's why we are translating that in Urdu and I mean, it is whatever our knowledge is. That's what we are trying to do.
What do you find satisfying about solar installation and doing this project?
First of all, when the children come to school, and it is very hot right now in Pakistan, temperature is between 100 and 120. So when the children come and they sit in the under the fan and they enjoy that, I feel very happy just looking at them, because they don't have that facility in their house. And then I also had one dream that one fan and one bulb in each house in those villages where there is no electricity. So I hope with the help of some funding agencies, I will be able to do that. But so far, I was in training to be the sister. And on August 8, we were able to fulfill that. So now we are full-fledged sisters. So, and hopefully after this, when I go back to Pakistan, which will be soon, then we will do something about that.
And one of the questions I have is, how did both of you decide to become nuns?
Good question. We both know each other from 1994. We were working in one of the non-government organization. It was a community health and development program, one of the outreach of the hospital in Pakistan. So Maria was already working there. Then I joined that office in 1994 after my college. So that's, then we were together, and then we left that job in 98 or so. Then we started our own organization named SOIL, Society Organized for Integral Life. So we were working with women and children, the women who were in the jail, and then children, the garbage picking children, non-formal education for them. So we both were involved in that kind of work. And Maria's older sister, she's the third person with us in Loretos. She was already nun. Previously, she was already sister like 25 years. And somehow there was some problem. And then she transferred to Sisters of Loreto. And then she was calling home, calling to Maria, and she was talking all about Loretos. But Loretos are good, they do this and that. And then she asked us if you are interested to join. So she's the third person with us in Loretos. In Pakistan, there is not a third way. Like, you can get married or join a religious order. For Christian, I'm talking about. So she said, you need to decide something. We said, okay. She said, Loretos are good. Maybe you will find your vocation or passion, you can say. So then we said, okay, we will see. Then we started receiving mails from them and all of that. We came in 2003 to join. But sisters gave us freedom. They said 2 years. They said, just see. If you will like, then join. There is no, they were not forcing us to join them. So 2 years we were here and there, going to visit our centers and all of that. And then after 2 years we decided. We said, okay, this is what we done. They gave us a freedom to do our ministry. So that was a comfort zone for us. Okay, that the their charism and our passion somewhere was matching.
How long did your sister training take?
8 years. We did our first vows in 2007. And that was like, if you are in any convent, so they, after first vows, there will be some time that they say, okay, think about this. You have this opportunity and see if you would like to continue. So like on August 8, both of us before that, we decided, okay, we would like to continue for whole life. So this is what we did.
What is the solar scene like in Pakistan? Are there many others who can install solar systems like yourselves?
There are some big companies, and they are charging a whole lot, but we are the only female in Pakistan who are doing this work.
Do you know of other nuns who are trained in solar installation?
Not in Pakistan. We know that, we are for sure. And as I said, in Pakistan, it is traditional church. So we were helping one of the congregation, and one day I received an email from them, from one of the mother superior, asking me, please give me the email address and contact number of the sister who is your head in solar project. And I was like, what? I'm the one who is doing that. So none of my other sister knows how to do solar. So it is like the thinking is that I am the young one in that congregation. So according to that, sisters in Pakistan, they cannot think of that any young one is doing this individual work.
And then other sisters, it is a big attraction for them, the whatever we are doing, the solar, and they come and ask question. One of the Dominican, she's interested, and Maria invite her to come and work with us, and sometimes she comes.
So in addition to trying to train some students, do you plan on trying to maybe train some nuns in what you're doing?
If they are interested in, so we will be happy to. Like Samina shared, one of the Sparkle Dominican sister, she's interested. So whenever we have a solar installation, I just call her, and if she is free, she come and help us.
How is having electricity a game changer for someone in Pakistan?
I mean, if they have electricity all the time, the women can do their work, the men can do their work all the time, and of course there will be more development in any phase of life. And we don't do use much electricity as people in America use, because you're almost everything. And one day I was thinking, what if all of these things are in Pakistan, then none of the system will work there. So it is like, it is whole different thing for any Pakistani to have the electricity for 24 hours. The people use generator, but they have to fuel the generators. So with solar, it is like they don't have to pay only one time, and there's no continue expense on there. And it is eco-friendly, there's no noise, and many more things about solar. So the people who will have that, like I said, that I wish if we can do one fan and one bulb in one of the village, so that will be whole new thing for them.
The one thing I will say, peaceful night for a woman who is working from morning 5 o'clock, and then working till 10 p.m. at home, and then she cannot sleep in peace because there is no electricity and hot and all that kind of things. And the situation for the students, they cannot study. If there is no electricity, they can't study. Even during exam, poor, they are suffering. So that will be something. Even they will have light or a fan, so they can have a peaceful night. This is a big thing.
And why does solar make sense in Pakistan?
Because we have a sun almost 300 days of the year. And when it is hot, it's really very hot. I know when it is really hot, then the solar goes a little bit down because of the electrons. Go slow, but it is like we have more than, in summer days we have more than 14 hours of sun, and even when it is foggy, still we have little bit light that the solar collectors can get some of the energy.
What are some of the limitations to setting up systems in Pakistan, maybe material-wise or knowledge-wise?
One material-wise is we are getting panels from Germany and China. China, it's not good, you know, the quality is not good. They give warranty for 5 years, but the Germany panels they give for 25 years. So, but the Germany panels are expensive than Chinese. So it is expensive for people to get. And then the batteries are from America.
Are those supplies hard to come by?
Sometimes, yes, because we have to pay import-export tax on there. And here we were talking about that solar panels are different size or different type, so then that can create a little bit de-efficiency. But in Pakistan, this is one of the problem that we cannot get all the material in one model or something like that.
So your solar systems are kind of mixed match. They're not just one order complete system. You might have some that have a German panel, a Chinese panel, a battery from America, and maybe some supplies made in Pakistan.
So far, we did not use any Chinese panel. So we did use some Canadian and German panels. And we have this only batteries from USA. We can easily get it in Pakistan. So, and those are the, only one kind I know that is good battery, but rest of it, people spend lots of money, and I don't want to hear all the complaints that you did this and you did this. So it is like, first of all, when I talk to them, I just say, okay, if you are going to buy the material, I want you to buy these things. And if they change the converter or something, so it is their own risk. I told them that this is your own. I don't have to do anything. I can do this for you, but you are responsible for the converter.
Being the two women that you know of in Pakistan that are doing this kind of solar installation, you've mentioned some surprise from the community. Have there been any challenges because you are women trying to do this?
Sometime, as I shared, that first of all, when I go to buy some tool, so the men will be like, the woman in this shop? And then they try to check if I know what I'm buying. So sometimes it is like, I can easily see what they are doing. But it is like, I have to stand firm and I have to be like, what I'm asking for. So that is one thing. Then second, most of the people, they think that women cannot do any that kind of work. So hard job for them. So they look at me and they say, you are the one who are doing this. The main thing is that Pakistan is male-dominating culture. So both of us, most of the time we are like, okay, so you are the one who are doing it. Is like sometimes they say, okay, we will see how you are going to do this. So this is not only one thing, but there are a lot more.
Yeah, and being a woman in Pakistan is not easy. All the men, they look at you, and then we wear our traditional dress, you know, is a shalwar kameez and dupatta, like shawl. It's different than we wearing here in America. So working with our traditional dress, it is a challenge. You know, then you have to be, and then you are none. You know, the challenges like everywhere. Expectations. So you have to be look like a sister, and then traditional dressing, and then all the men, they are watching you.
That was Sister Samina Iqbal and Sister Maria Danielle. They belong to the Sisters of Loreto and run a mission in Pakistan. I'm Laura Palmisano.
Laura Palmisano is a producer at KVNF-FM in Paonia, Colorado, USA. Since this interview was recorded in 2015, Sisters Samina Iqbal and Maria Daniel and Maria's sister Nasreen Daniel, also a nun, have moved to Lahore, where they run a multi-faith school, teach women's empowerment courses, and coordinate the installation of solar panels around Pakistan. To see the Solar Sisters and read more about their projects, go to loretocommunity.org. That's L-O-R-E-T-T-O, community.org, and scroll down to Global Loreto. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose new book is called The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wings sound logo is from Lee Bana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Okay, welcome to another very special episode of Film at 11. This time we're with Matthew of KBOO's Gremlin Time, and we're going to be discussing a new book called The First True Hitchcock, The Making of a Filmmaker by Henry K. Miller, and it's published by the University of California Press. And it's a fascinating look into the forces and the nature of the film medium at the time and interest in cinema in the mid-20s, when already the transition to sound was in the makings. You know, there were sound movies as early as 25, 26. And Hitchcock made this movie, I think it was released in 1928, but it was right on the cusp. He made five more silent movies, and then made the very first British sound film, Blackmail, which is also well worth seeing. But what Henry K. Miller does is to